It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Thursday, everybody. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. I'm Chase McCabe's Big Joe Dubin, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day. We got a big show planned once again for you. JoJo, what's up?
Chaser, how's it going, buddy?
It's good, man.
You're smelling good today. What's happening?
It's that special deodorant you gave me.
You got a big meeting later on or something?
I always have big meetings.
Atta boy. What's going on, man?
Not much. Did you like the open? Changed it up a little bit?
Fantastic. You got Chris Farley, Mr. Burns, how does it get any better than that? And the Beastie Boys. Come on.
And the Beastie Boys and CM Punk for the wrestling fans. I mean, it's good.
I love it. By the way, the fantastic morning show of Robbie and Rex Road, I go over because Joe and I sit in the same seat over here, and under the seat there's a single what do you call this, Dr. Crane? Creamer little, what
little
is this?
Creamer cups?
Yeah, of French vanilla that I guess Joe Rexroad, he's just got one. So for all the businesses out there, be on the lookout for Joe Rexroad stealing your creamer cups at your hotel. So that's what we got here.
Might as well look at Cracker Bro because they got those in a little cup, you know.
Oh, do they?
He probably drinks them.
I bet you Rexroad steals sugar from there too as well. And the little Splenda packs, whatever. Yep. All right, just letting you know. All right, Chase, what were you saying?
Nothing. I was just going to let you go there.
Right, I'm better now.
There, JoJo.
Or as Walter White says, that stevia crap. Do you know what that's from?
No.
Breaking Bad, when he poisons the lady towards the end of the series and she gets sick and he calls her and says, I put some something in your stevia crap that you use. So Walter White, Breaking Bad. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it, Chase.
I will. What do you think about this? I saw Pete Thamel put this out about 10 minutes ago. Manny Diaz, of course, former Miami head coach, has MTSU ties. His name was, I believe, mentioned in the coaching search at MTSU, is now emerged as the focus of Duke's head coaching search.
Will you read your text from Tuesday? I told you that. Manny Diaz. Remember we were talking about the middle job, and I said, rumor has it he's going to Duke.
Okay. Well, you're right. You beat Pete Thamel.
I did. I will beat Pete Thamel when I see him again.
Well, we don't need violence.
No, I mean, not at all. You're right. I'm talking pickleball. Pickleball. Oh, okay. That's a good hire. I mean, Manny Diaz had his time at Miami, of course, former DC at MTSU, now with James Franklin. There's got to be a shelf life, right, with James Franklin. I mean, like Bob Stoops got the hell out of Dodge. A few others get away from him, and then you do a couple years at Penn State, and then you go to you get away from Jimmy Frank.
Bob Shoop got out of Dodge.
Who did I say?
You said Bob Stoops.
Oh, Bob Shoop, right. Is it Bob Shoop? When I hear the word Shoop, I think of Bart Simpson doing the Shoop on The Simpsons. When Homer comes downstairs and Bart's...
I think of Salt and Pepper.
Bart's wearing the wig, and Homer just loses his mind over Bart doing the Shoop.
Right.
Well, good for Manny Diaz, man.
Yeah, look, I mean, we kind of stumbled into this the other day with James Franklin, that if Nick Saban does call it a career after this year, I mean, I think that the used car salesman is going to head down to Tuscaloosa.
We are in agreement on that, because I do, because, look, you got to replace a big personality with a big personality. And somebody that can take the bow, the slings and the arrows and all that. And I think James Franklin could do that. His ego is so massive that he could do that. You know, when Bear left and Ray Perkins took over, that's a 180 in personalities. And it didn't work. And then, you know, don't be the guy that replaces the guy. Be the guy that replaces the guy that replaces the guy. But for James Franklin, that doesn't – I don't think it doesn't apply here, because I think Franklin would want that prestige. He'd want all everything that comes with
it. Oh, he wants – right. Yeah, and he would love to be – see, I think he's the opposite. I think he would love to be, I'm replacing Nick Saban. Like, he would love to have that. Like, you know, and he'll kiss Saban's ass like no other.
Right.
You know, like, I can hear it now at the press conference. Like, you know, I'm real excited about the history at Alabama and what Coach Saban has done.
Oh, absolutely. That's a pretty good impression you got right there.
Thank you.
All I've got is, good morning, guys. And that's it. So I think Franklin, you know, and we're going to call it right now. I mean, if Alabama wins a national championship, there's 99.9% in my mind that Nick Saban says, see ya, and that's the best way to go out. You win it. Look, you know, when we talking to Walt Wells the other day about all these coaches are going through and recruiting with portals and NIL, he don't want to be part of that. I mean, he's an old school coach. He doesn't want to be any part of that.
Right.
And just, I want to coach football and recruit guys and go from there. So it goes out. So you better believe there's a short list of that the AD Alabama's got that will be probably approved by Saban to say, hey, who's going to take over here? There's not a doubt in my mind.
Who's the AD at Alabama?
No idea.
Is it? I mean, I used to know this.
It's not Mal Moore. Didn't he pass away?
Yeah. I used to know the name. Greg Byrne.
I don't know. Not Greg Burke, former UT kicker. Before we get any further, real quick, Chaser, shout out to the MTSU Lady Raiders last night for knocking off the Lady Vols down in Huntsville.
That's a big win. That's
first
a huge win
ever for middle win. Over the Lady Raiders. Absolutely it is.
Cameron on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh in, 615-737-1025. Franklin wouldn't make it 3 years at Alabama. He can't beat ranked teams. Hey, look, you may be right. I mean, whether he, you know, makes it or not, I mean, I definitely think that just fits, you know, with everything that Joe just said. You know, the personality and all of that. I mean, you want to – I don't know of another top assistant. It's not going to be Lane Kiffin, I don't think.
That's what people – but, you know, and I told a guy at the gym this morning over Competitive Edge, shout out, I said you know, Kiffin name gets brought up. I go, what's he won? I mean, he won some championships in Conference USA at FAU. I get that. But what big game has he ever won?
And honestly, like, if I'm advising Lane Kiffin, stay right where you are.
Oh.
Because you're daddy. You're daddy.
Yeah.
In Oxford, Mississippi, you are in charge.
Yep. And you got to
just stay there.
Making good money. You're getting players coming there. You're having fun right now. Don't leave. I mean, now,
like, when he was rumored for the Miami job, I'm like, that's trouble for him because he'll get in trouble or, you know, like,
right.
Now he might have gone down there and won, but I think he's got a good spot there in Oxford.
He does. And that's a question we've asked before on sports radio is, like, had he stayed at Tennessee after the 2009 season, what would have happened? And there's no doubt in my mind that it had been on all kinds of probation. Hell, they got on the probation when he was there. So it would have been far. But do I think he's a different coach now? Has he matured? Yes. To what extent? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. So certainly could be interesting if that were to happen. I mean, and now here's the Dabo. Somebody said Dabo. I just think the shine's worn off on Dabo. 3 years ago, I would have said Dabo. That Dabo would have left Clemson and gone to Alabama.
Yeah, I totally
agree. I don't think so anymore.
I'm with you, man, on that. I think the same thing is that Dabo knows where he is. He likes Clemson. I don't think he would leave to do that right there. Now, we may be completely wrong, but I don't think Alabama. It's got to be two-way, right? It's got to be two-way. This love affair's got to go both ways. And I don't think Alabama would want Dabo Swinney back or want him at all.
1652 says Kirby Smart, the greatest Saban disciple there is. No chance in hell. He's at his alma mater. He's not
right.
Leaving Georgia.
He's not leaving there.
No.
But
I understand why people would think that because he's the best. He is the best. You know, assistant that's had the most success. I don't see it. He would not leave Georgia. I think he's at Georgia as long as he wants to be.
Sure. And they're going to sign him to a massive contract, or maybe they already have done that. So he's not going to go anywhere and do that. And so, no. I mean, I really, you look at this, who's got to replace, and I think it's got to be a big personality, and I think it's going to be – if James Franklin doesn't approach or want that job, then he's settled. But I think he's the one that could go out. Other than that, man, I don't know. I really don't know.
We get these texts every now and then. I don't know if this is some joke that I'm missing, but 1761 wants to know what you had for breakfast.
I don't eat breakfast. I get up and I have a little power drink and I go to Competitive Edge and work out and I'll eat lunch. I skip breakfast. Who eats breakfast? Do you eat breakfast?
No.
Yeah, if you eat, I want to know. I'd like to know who eats breakfast. I don't eat breakfast. Dr. Crane, do you eat breakfast or not?
No, sir. I'm a black coffee guy, and then I go on with my day.
There you go. I don't know anybody who eats breakfast. Really? Chase, you eat breakfast?
No.
I don't. So 1761, I don't maybe I should eat breakfast. Maybe I have a more clarity in my big skull. I don't know. I don't eat breakfast.
I'll say this, Joe. On a nice Saturday morning, if it is nice, might as well go out and get some pancakes. I mean, it's a one day type thing. I don't eat during the week or on a
But no, Monday through Friday.
No.
Okay.
No. Well, every now and then I'll stop it and, you know, and get a coffee somewhere and I might get like a pastry, but half the time I don't finish it because I'm just I've been like this my entire life.
Handsome?
Handsome. Smart, you know, all those things. I have to wake up. Like, my body has to wake up before I can eat. Like, I'm not hungry when I first wake up. It's very, very rare.
Yeah, so I don't know. Yeah, so if you eat breakfast, let us know if you eat breakfast. I'm curious now.
Yeah.
If you eat breakfast or not, 615.
Like, how many people eat breakfast? That's a great question.
737-1025. I know it's silly and kind of inane, but I don't know anybody who eats breakfast. I mean, it's all like lunch.
I kind of feel like that, you know, breakfast, they used to tell you, was the most important meal of the day because that's how you start your day and all that stuff. I almost feel like lunch is now.
Like, I totally agree.
That lunch, like, maybe people have a little snack in the morning, but then lunch is a bigger meal than maybe it was. And then I feel like dinner might be a smaller meal than it was.
Yeah. Chaser, we got an old friend weighing in on the coach. Sudzo just texted me.
Sudzo.
He says Dan Lanning from Oregon. Maybe so. He's got some roots in the SEC.
That's a former DC, I think. Yeah, former DC at Georgia.
That's right.
That's an interesting name, Sudzo.
Sudzo, thanks for coming back, buddy. We miss you. We do miss you.
Real quick, I just saw this. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this. It just made me laugh. Former Jaguars employee accused of stealing over $22 million. Is his name Urban? A former Jags financial employee is accused of stealing more than $22 million from the franchise over a four-year period by manipulating its virtual credit card program.
Here's again.
That's amazing.
Isn't it easier that sounds like hard work. Just do your job. That sounds like a lot of work to make that money, and you're going to get caught. I just don't understand that.
Yeah.
Is it Urban? The texts are flying in now on the do you eat breakfast? This is from Byron, says, "Hey, man, I grabbed an oatmeal Little Debbie heading out the door. Sure wish I hadn't." Thank you, Byron. Yes.
Chris says, "Never skip egg day, Joe."
Eggs get a bad rap, man, but eggs are fantastic. I'll have eggs for lunch. I'll have eggs for dinner. I mean, it's that whole, you know, whoever said, you know, you have to have eggs for breakfast is insane. You can eat eggs anytime you want, man. So, yeah, you guys are great. These are flying in again.
Scrambled, sunny side up, Joe?
Scrambled, yeah.
I'm a scrambled man. Throw some cheese in there. Actually, when I make my awesome eggs, my scrambled eggs, like this was my college days. And again, it wouldn't count as breakfast because I'd wake up at like 11:30. But
sure.
Scrambled eggs with salsa and cheese all mixed in.
That's a lot of work, man.
Oh, no, that sounds good.
It does sound good.
It was a lot of work. You go to the fridge, you get the salsa and the cheese out, you throw it in, and boom, you're done.
Are you good at making eggs?
Scrambled eggs, yeah.
Okay.
Make them sunny side up any way of the day. I'll do it.
Dr. Crane, I
can do that too. But.
Dr. Crane, I picture you as somebody that when you go cook in your kitchen that you wear an apron.
I don't, actually. It is a white shirt, though, because if you don't wear a white shirt, you don't have any
chef
stains.
He wears a chef hat.
Now, you know, quick story before we go to break. My grandfather and grandmother, they kind of raised me for the most part. And so when I was about 3 or 4 years old, I'll never forget, my grandfather said, like, "Vinny Cot," like in Italian, like, "come here." And he had a step stool next to the, where the stove is and whatnot. And says, "Come here." I was like, okay. So I start cooking up eggs. That was the first thing I learned how to cook.
Really?
Okay.
Yep. Nice job.
Very good. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your calls and texts coming up next. Plus, we have to address what Robbie said at the end of the show because it's very important for tomorrow. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063, the game. Broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And our show is presented by Regal Realty Group. Now, you heard at the end of Robbie and Rex Road, this is officially from the office of the suit, that Jared's taking the day off tomorrow. He's been doing some extra stuff, deserves a day off, asked for a day off, and I said absolutely. So Robbie and Rex Road are going to take over his show. They want to move into his show for a day. So they will do the afternoon show 2 to 6, and so you and I are going to slide into mornings and go 5 hours and do their show and our show tomorrow.
I love it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and then that way Robbie and Joe get to sleep in, although Joe looks like he is sleepwalking during the show anyway, but it'll be
I think teenagers may have something to do with that.
Yeah, well, I know that feeling. So it'll be fun. We'll do 5 hours. We got some special guests planned. So it'll be a good time tomorrow. I'm excited about it. By the way, the breakfast thing has hit a nerve
because it has.
We're 50-50 right now about breakfast. And Joel says, "You're telling me you didn't eat cereal and milk as a kid before school every day?" Yeah, as a kid, but as an adult, no, I don't. Not at all.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't a whole lot. Like, I even tried. So, again, you know, I kind of fell into the trap of breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And so I tried to force myself at times, like, to eat at least cereal.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. Because, I mean, we all know the, like, especially if you don't eat it fast and you got the milk and it gets all soggy and then it's gross. And
yeah,
it's
just, right.
You know, like, I can't stand that. And then, you know, I can't do dry cereal. You know, that doesn't work.
Oh, I can when I've had a lot to drink. That's you described the first thing around.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little different.
And but. Dr. Crane's got some love from Jameson. I find myself more and more like Dr. Crane every day. Black cold brew or coffee and sunny side up eggs is the best. The real question is floppy or crispy bacon on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm a 1 is raw, 10 is charred. I'm a 6. Dr. Crane, comment?
I mean, the crispiness, I'd probably say around 6 or 7. You can't have it too crispy where it's like crunch hurts your teeth.
Right.
You can't have it too soft where you put it in the oven and you're just like, gah, I don't really want to eat this. This okay. is just too soggy.
All right.
This is a fantastic question. I got to have some crunch to my bacon. Got to. So I'm probably a 6 or 7.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right. I think most of us are right there.
I don't like charred, but like it's got a crunch.
I think if you're 0-1, then you would probably eat the pig raw. I mean, you're a weirdo if you're 0-1. But, yeah. Joel weighs in and says, I usually do a protein bar, yogurt, and a fruit now. I'll maybe snag a protein bar, but as far as, like, a breakfast, no. I mean, this is not the 1960s.
5103 on the text line. This topic has tentacles. We're going a lot of different directions here. I have breakfast for dinner a lot. I can't stand you people. Like, I cannot stand the breakfast for, and I have a lot of friends that do it, and my mom loves that. Like, I can't stand it. No, breakfast belongs in the morning. Dinner belongs at night. I hate the breakfast for dinner thing.
Right. Byron,
I mean that with love. Like, I don't, right. I, you know, but I can't do, I hate it.
Byron says on a scale of 1 to 10, my bacon, I wanted 11. My grandmother made bacon. It was ash when she pulled it out. Oh, that's great. What do you think, Mike Vrabel? What do you think? You think he eats breakfast? He's a little bit on the testy side. I'm saying no.
Yeah, no. Well, maybe some days he does, and then the days that he doesn't, that's when he's an ass.
What about yesterday?
I don't know. I actually thought he was okay yesterday until the end.
What happened at the end, for those that don't know?
Okay, do we have it, Nick?
I can get it. 1 second.
Okay, so he was asked, and I knew this was going to happen because Kaharsky brought it up when he was on with Robbie and Rextro that he was mad that somebody didn't ask, but when Aukerman was fired, did he talk to Amy Adams Strunk? And that was kind of the whole thing of – was it his decision or did this come down from the owner?
Okay.
And so I think it was Steve Lehman from Channel 5 asked the initial question about, you know, having the conversation with Amy. Here was the first part. Well, here, I think they're both together, right, Nick? Do you have the follow up?
Yes.
Okay, here you go.
Mike, how much do you talk to Amy during the season? Is there like a typical schedule for that? And what is her message to you and maybe the football team been during this time?
Well, always supportive. You know, we don't have a set. There's not a set day. You know, I mean, I try to keep her updated. Rand keeps her updated. You know, and then when we talk, it's, you know, we're all, you know, frustrated that we're in the position that we're in, and we're all working hard, extremely hard to figure a way out of it. And so that there's a level of support to what we're trying to do. And always
still have her full belief belief that this is going the direction she wants it to go?
I've, tried to answer those questions as consistently as possible. I'm focused on the football team, the players, getting them ready. And, that's all I can focus on.
Talk to her. Did she talk to you before the Aukerman decision?
We talk regularly.
Did you talk
Thanks, guys.
Before the Aukerman decision?
He walked off. Tells me all I need to know. He walked off. Didn't like that.
Man, he is. The more I hear him, the more I hear his voice, I think he's gone. I really do. I think he
See, I'm still, I don't know. I'm still very back and forth on it that I think he's going to be the head coach here next year. I don't know. I don't know why. And I could very well be wrong on that. I don't think she's going to fire him. I think if he leaves, it's because he leaves, which is hard to do.
I don't think he's happy. I just don't
think
he's
No, I don't think he's happy. I think he's miserable. Yep. But is he miserable because of the landscape of the organization, or is he miserable because the team just sucks?
And if you're getting upset at a Steve Lehman question, you got a problem.
I don't think he really got upset at that question. I think it was the follow-up, because he knew the follow-up was coming and he knew who was going to ask it.
Love it.
Yes. And that's what it was. And look, it's the right question. Like, I'm kind of with Paul and Paul wasn't there on Monday, that I'm surprised it wasn't asked on Monday. But I mean, if you're a head coach, if you're in any kind of leadership position, I mean, I understand it. Like, don't you get pissed off if somebody's like, well, did you get told to do this? Basically, I mean, that's what it is. Like,
right.
Were you told to do this? And of course, you're not going to like it, but it's a fair question.
Just answer, say yes right. or no. No, right. I didn't talk. If you talked to her, yeah, any kind of personal decisions, I make them, and I talk to Amy about them. Done, over, done, boom. But to have that attitude now. It's all more questions like what's going on behind the scenes. Just be very transparent on the simple things.
He could have easily said, I knew the whole I'm focused on coaching the football team crap was coming. He could have very easily said, I made a decision what was best for the football team. I let Amy know what I was thinking, and we wish Craig the best in his future endeavors.
Yep.
And then you're done.
I agree. To make the announcement now, Chase?
Yeah, we can do that. Go ahead.
All right, so we'll get to see the new special teams coach up close and personal because the Chase and Big Joe Show road trip. We are heading to Miami for the Monday night football game between the Dolphins and the Titans, and it is more of a how are the Titans looking against the future of the NFL? Because I'm telling you right now, the offense of Mike McDaniels running in Miami, that is the future of the NFL. The motions, all the waggles and the in and outs and everything else and the high speed up, that's the future of the NFL. We're going to see it up close and personal. So Chase and I are heading down there. We'll do the show down there thank you so much from the Lowe's, Coral Gables Hotel and Medical House Calls for sponsoring that. Much more on the trip tomorrow as we go down there. So we're looking forward to that.
So we'll tease this for tomorrow since we're on 5 hours, and I haven't even told you this, but we all know I'm obsessed with Mike McDaniel. I love Mike McDaniel.
You are.
So I am going to go to his post-game press conference. I need you all to decide the question. It can be, if you want it to be about the game, that's fine, but I want to ask Mike McDaniel a question because he always gives fun answers. So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited to see Tyreek Hill live.
Yeah.
I've never seen him live. I have. I saw him at Kansas City.
But not in this offense.
Right.
And, we talked to John McClain yesterday, and the question was, do you think they could drop 70 on them? And John said no, and I kind of think that. But, that's Monday Night Football. So everybody's watching this game on Monday night, and I could totally see if it works out because the Titans secondary is so awful that they get 70 dropped on them. But we'll see. Yeah. By the way, Chase, just real quick before we go to the break and for our next guest, Nissan Stadium just announced July 20th next year, Def Leppard and Journey and Steve Miller at Nissan Stadium.
Well, I know what you and I are doing.
Right? Def Leppard, Journey, and Steve Miller? Get out of here.
Let's go. I am in. Let's go. Coming up next, Greg Wyshynski, ESPN. We'll talk some hockey with him. That's all next on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Every Thursday at 9:30, we chat with Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. He joins us now. Greg, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Our question of the day has been, do you eat breakfast? Are you a breakfast eater?
I am today, because occasionally you have to reward yourself with that bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich with salt, pepper, and ketchup. And so I was today, but typically I am not a breakfast person. I skip straight to lunch. When I was at my best ideal, actually was attractive weight, I had a diet that I wouldn't recommend because it's not healthy, but it worked for me. It was called the coffee, apple, scotch diet, where I would simply exist on coffee during the day, eat one apple for lunch, eat dinner, and then have a scotch at night. And listen, it might have been because I was in my 20s and had a different metabolism, but damn if it didn't work. I was a fine-looking dude.
Wow. Well, might have to look into that. You may be right, though. The age could have had something to do with that.
Yeah. I mean, considering I put on 10 pounds now if I eat an M&M, I think the metabolism might have been a situation back in the 20s.
You have a piece up on ESPN.com right now talking about USA and the Olympics. If the NHL sends its players in 2026, you know, I think about, and I was reading your piece, and I think about, like, all the talent that would be on that team. That might be the most talented U.S. team that they've had ever, or at least in a long time. I really hope we see it. Do you think we will?
I hope we do. And to your point, I talked to Mike Modano about this team. He was a three-time Olympian, obviously was also on that World Cup team in the 1990s that beat Canada. And he thinks this team can win gold. I mean, like, that's his expectation for the amount of talent on this team. And in particular, the strength that they have at center, and especially in goal, where they maybe for the first time in my lifetime completely outshine Canada in that spot. But whether they're going to go or not, it's the question. The Board of Governors meeting was in Seattle this week for the NHL. Again, there's a lot of optimism kind of behind the scenes about them figuring out something with the IOC and getting this done. But, you know, Gary Bettman, the commissioner, for the first time voiced concern about the construction timeline for the arena in Italy. And whenever these guys start being concerned about something, you're wondering, okay, is it going to be this time? You know, it was COVID last time. That's why we didn't go to Beijing. They didn't like the terms of the deal for South Korea. They didn't go there. So anytime they start making noise about something that they don't like, you get a little bit nervous. But hopefully this is just posturing. Hopefully this is just negotiation, because I don't see any material reason why the NHL shouldn't go to Italy, and why we can't see this incredible Team USA play together for the first time.
Yeah, to me, it would make no sense not to go. I mean, COVID, okay, I'll give you that, you know, but it stop looking for reasons. You know your fan base wants it. You know your players want it, and it's good for your brand. And, look, everything revolves around money. How can you not gain from it financially by sending these guys over, you know, in some ways, by getting more eyes on your sport?
But that's the trick. I mean, this whole thing puts me between a rock and a hard place, because I don't like the fact that the NHL keeps finding reasons not to go, especially because they put it in the collective bargaining agreement that they were going to go to Beijing and to 2026. COVID happened. I mean, that's understandable. This time, if they find a way to wiggle out of it, then I think they're kind of going against the spirit of their agreement with the players. But that being said, the financial gain part of this, I'm with the NHL. Like, the IOC, and I've covered the Olympics four times, the IOC is terrible. And the fact of the matter is that the NHL is loaning its product, loaning its talent, loaning its players with no financial benefit from the Olympics specifically for you know, 3 weeks on end during the season. You can't put an NHL logo on the ice. You can't put one on the players. You can't sell a Jack Hughes Team USA T-shirt in the NHL store with an Olympic logo on it. Like, there are a ton of ways this agreement can be a lot better for the NHL. But the problem is, and I've reported on this before, the problem is that the IOC thinks if they do a deal with the NHL like that, now the NBA comes calling. Now MLB comes calling. Now, you know, FIFA comes calling, and they don't want to have to cut, you know, deals with everybody and actually, you know, spread the wealth that's being created for these criminals through the deal. All these entities loaning their talent there.
Greg, as I always preface questions, Chase always asks really good questions, always asks really kind of ignorant, different ones. My question for you is, who is the most feared person in the NHL right now? You know,
that's a good
20
point.
Years ago, we all had 8 or 9 guys, but I'm listening to our morning show of Robbie and Rex. We're talking about Tanner Janot coming to town tonight to play the Predators and don't get in a fight with him and all that. I'm thinking, who's the most feared guy? Who puts the fear in every other team?
Well, I don't know if there's a fighter that puts fear in anybody. I mean, Ryan Reeves would be the de facto answer, and I guess, you know, when he needs to, he could play his role. But the role of fighting and the role of enforcers has been diminished so much in the last decade. You've got the fear of talent and hurting you, and that's obviously McDavid, who can posterize you on any play. But if you're talking about, like, physicality, if you're talking about hitting, then I think it's probably Jacob Trouba of the New York Rangers. That's a guy who is your modern-day Scott Stevens, a guy that is, you know, lays out people, one of the few players in this league that can change the trajectory of a playoff series with one hit, like he did in the Rangers-Penguins series a couple of years ago when he took out Crosby. And he's been able to do it without really getting rung up by the Department of Player Safety for any of it. I mean, apparently he's refined his hitting to the point where they look at these hits and don't see a reason to suspend the guy, much to the chagrin of a lot of people. And, you know, he gets away with, like, swinging a stick at people like he did the other day against Boston. He's the most feared guy. But I think part of the fear is that there won't be any repercussions for what he does.
That's a great question for that. We're down here loving Philip Forsberg, Greg, for what he's doing and just putting this team on his back. What is it you see from Philip Forsberg this year that you didn't see last year in the game, and how well he's playing now?
So we actually had him on our podcast, The Drop, this week. If you go and look for NHL on ESPN on any podcast platform or YouTube, you can find our interview with Philip that dropped on Tuesday. And we talked about the Predators, and in particular, we talked about Ryan O'Reilly, you know, who's somebody he's played with. And I think one of the things that O'Reilly's arrival has done is made really good players like Philip Forsberg understand the game even more. Like, the attention to detail that Ryan O'Reilly brings to games, to practices, to the way he conducts himself. You could tell in talking to Forsberg that he's picked up a few things here and there about how to improve his game, you know, playing good defense that leads to offense, that sort of thing. I think that's had an impact on him. I also think that obviously Andrew Brunette coming in and changing the way that this team has played stylistically has also been a real boon for him. I mean, we talked about the shock and awe for all the players to hear Barry Trotz saying we're going to play more offensively and then hiring a coach that decided to do that. So I think the style of play has been a big factor in him having such a breakout year as well.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN. I do want to ask you, it looks like $4.2 million is what the cap is going to go up, $4.2 million next year. I mean, that's obviously better than the flat cap or the million or what we've had the last few years.
Sure. I mean, that's three players if you spend the money right. I think it's going to impact the amount of movement that we have in the offseason, to be sure. I mean, there's always going to be teams that have to make tough decisions because of the cap. But, you know, if you built in that money into, say, like Minnesota's cap last year, they probably keep a Matt Dumba, for example. Like, he's not playing in Arizona. There's probably other situations where a few more dollars under the cap meant that players would have stuck around instead of moving. So I think it'll maybe impact the amount of players, big-name players, that have to leave their teams because of the salary cap. And for me, that's good because, you know, ultimately – it's all about what the product on the ice looks like. And if you can keep teams together rather than having to make them, you know, sliver off guys because of the salary cap concerns with the cap going up now, I think that makes for a better on-ice product.
Would you also agree, though, that, like, I look at the Predators and if the flat cap hadn't been a thing, I don't think they sign a Nito Niederreiter or a Ryan O'Reilly because I think the price would have been too high for them.
Potentially. But again, like, again, it's a 32-team league. It's not like the salary cap is jumping by $10 million. There are still going to be guys looking for a certain amount of money and teams not willing to necessarily pay for it. I mean, hey, look at Tampa. I mean, you know, they know the cap's going up, and they're already making noise about whether or not they're going to be able to meet the price for a Steven Stamkos. And that has to do with not only their concerns about what the money they have to spend on the rest of their lineup to really build it back up to being a cup contender, but it also is, you know, do we really want to pay a guy this old, this kind of money? And those types of situations are still going to exist no matter what the cap goes up by next season.
Joe?
Oh, okay. I thought somebody, Greg, wants to know once again about your breakfast diet. That's getting a lot of play on our text line. Tell us again what it is.
Well, when I was in my 20s, it was simply you would drink coffee all day, then you would eat an apple. Now, keep in mind, this was when I was working at a newspaper, so it's very, busy running around. Coffee all day, I would have, a Granny Smith apple for lunch. I would have, a sizable dinner. And then I just have a glass of scotch or whiskey at night. And I legitimately, my wife, I found a picture of my old newspaper ID that had my picture on it. And my wife looked at it, and she's like, who's that guy? I'm it's making me feel terrible. But, when you're young, you can exist on no food and just, caffeine and whatever. And now today it's just usually I'm not eating a breakfast. I'm having coffee in the morning and then I'm having a big salad. And because if you're going to get me to eat salad, it needs to be a salad I want to eat. It's the salad with apple and blue cheese and walnuts. I mean, it's probably not the healthiest thing in the world, but it gets me to eat salad instead of a slice of pizza. So, that's usually coffee in the morning, a salad, and then dinner. And then of course still scotch at night.
I want to see this infomercial one day with you. Greg's diet, it's gonna work.
Me in a tracksuit, gold chains around my neck, telling people about the coffee apple scotch diet.
Oh, that's a good one. Hey, real quick, Patrick Kane gonna make his Red Wings debut tonight. How do you think that's gonna go?
Your guess is as good as mine. I mean, all the PR machine for Patrick Kane is in overdrive in this last week, doing interviews with us on ESPN and other places, talking about how it's going to be different for him because of the way he rehabbed after hip resurfacing surgery. But again, the bottom line is that every guy that we've seen have this and come back and try to play in this league has been 50% of what they were. In some cases, in Nick Backstrom's case at the Capitals, literally walked away from the game this year because of the concerns about his hip and his ineffectiveness. So look, I want Kane to be healthy. I want him to be good for the Red Wings, who are a very exciting team. And obviously it's good for hockey to have Patrick Kane still be in this galaxy of stars that we have in the league. But the evidence is there that this kind of surgery does end your career within the next couple of years. Hopefully not for Kane, and I think we're all really interested to see exactly what he comes back as playing on a team that is in a playoff spot and has certainly playoff aspirations this year.
Well, certainly going to be something to see. Hey, appreciate it as always, my friend, and enjoy your scotch and apples.
I shall. Thank you so much.
All right. Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, joins us every Thursday at 9:30. We'll come back with the breakfast thing has just taken off.
Yeah, right?
We got Cam, stay on the line. Got some more texts. We'll do that next. Chase and Big Joe, presented by Regal Realty Group, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Twin Peaks in Madison this Monday from 4 to 6. For our NFL pregame show, they'll break down the Titans' Week 14 matchup against the Dolphins and give you the latest updates before the game. NFL pregame is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and the Beast Unleashed. Big Joe and I will also be at, what's the stadium? Hard Rock Stadium.
Hard Rock Stadium,
In Miami as the Titans take on the mighty Miami Dolphins.
Well, remember Crockett and Tubbs? Miami will get ready for Chase and Big Joe down there.
Oh, it's going to be good.
We're going to break up the crime syndicates all over down there. And
I've never been to Miami.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Okay. it's a lot of – we're going to be on our best behavior. It'll be a lot of fun.
You're going to – you may come back on Tuesday or Wednesday and go, Chase tried to swim to Cuba or something.
No, I can't. You have to set all the remote stuff up. I don't know how to do that stuff.
Well, that's true.
We're broadcasting live down there Monday and Tuesday from the Lowe's Coral Gables Hotel. We appreciate the partnership we got with them, and also thank you, Medical House Calls, for all that. So we have much more on the trip coming tomorrow, and then we'll be down there Monday and Tuesday. I'm telling people, it's the NFL's most exciting team versus, another team. Just want to see.
I think let's get to Cam's been waiting patiently and wants to weigh in on breakfast real quick. Cam, what's up?
Yeah, number one, if you're having breakfast, because I'm not a big breakfast guy myself, but if you're having breakfast, there's nothing wrong with a biscuit and gravy. Let's just, throw that out there. I wanted to ask you guys, because I asked Paul yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road if, the demeanor with Mike Vrabel, because I've watched all his pressers, And, you know, he just seems kind of defeated. Like he's just, you know, and Paul was, oh, well, how would you expect a quarter or a coach to act if he was four and, you know, blah, blah. But I've seen him lose games before. And I'm a diehard Alabama fan. I've watched Nick Saban lose games before. I've watched, but they're still, he just seems exhausted. Just mentally, physically. And if you go back and look at his other pressers, when we've lost games before, he did not have the same demeanor where he just looks defeated. I don't know if it's a sign of like a give up or if it's, you know. So I just wanted your opinion on that. Thanks.
Yep. I appreciate the call, Cam. It's really hard to say because, and it ties into what Joe was just saying, that, you know, the most exciting team in the NFL and then another team. I think he absolutely hates within his being knowing that they're just another team and they're one of the worst teams in the league. Like he hasn't lost in his career. You know, obviously winning in the NFL and losing in the NFL is different than college, but he has always won at every aspect of his career. And the fact that this team is not very good just eats at him.
Good.
And in some ways that's good. Like we always talk about, like, I want somebody that hates losing. Mike Vrabel hates losing. I mean, Vrabel went on a podcast and talked about he'd cut something off to win a Super Bowl. That's how he thinks. So you know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about.
Right? But that's how he thinks. So I think that's one reason why he is that way right now.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. We talk about that, about Hall of Fame, not Hall of Fame, guys who play at the high level for a long time get frustrated. You know, I remember Mike Singletary, when he coached the 49ers, was so upset because the guys didn't practice and play the way he did. And it drove him insane. So I guess on the same thing with Vrabel. You know, Vrabel came up at the time where you did have two-a-days, where you hit during practice. And now you don't hit during practice. And all these other things where the players get to do things that, you know, weren't around when he did it. And it's I get it's frustrating that you can't go to practice and do 11-on-11, you know, and beat guys' head. I get all that. And it's got to be frustrating for a guy who grew up in that kind of era to see that, hey, here's what we did and how I did it, and the end result was winning Super Bowls and championships, and now it's frustrating. I understand it, but at the same time, you have to adapt to what's going on now, and is he adapting well to that? I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was handed a really good team in 2018 when he took over. I know he got him to the promise, almost to the promised land in 2019, and 20 and 21, you know, fell short of what they were doing. I get that, and now we saw that, and then we're having, you know, 22, and then 23 is really bad. I mean, Chase, this is a really bad football team.
They are. They're not good at all. So I can certainly see how that's eating at him for sure. We'll have more coming, including another question that Joe has. We'll do that next in hour number two of the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.